Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, Season 6, Episode 147. Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation.
Welcome to the 2022 Microsoft MVP Summit, or at least a group of us that have attended. This year, the summit is once again a virtual event leveraging Microsoft Teams for all of the sessions, which has been both good and bad. And I'm sure there'll be some conversation about our experiences of getting into those sessions. As has become tradition, though, a group of the PowerPoint MVPs have gathered for this episode. So thank you, everyone that is here. And we're going to be talking PowerPoint for the next 45 minutes or so. And hopefully next year, we'll be all be gathered together doing this in person and having a great fun. So let's do a little music intro and kick into a fun conversation.
Welcome everyone to this very special edition of the Presentation Podcast. We have an amazing group of MVP guests. And before we go any further, I'd like everyone to introduce themselves with a couple lines of introduction, but a little background on what is a Microsoft MVP. MVP stands for most valuable or valued professional. I always get the V mixed up. What is it, guys? Valued.
Actually, valued, right?
Yes.
Okay. Most valued professional. Everyone here have been awarded. We receive this award annually. It's a volunteer effort, recognizing us for the contributions we make to the technical community. We are Office 365 MVPs, but we each have received our award in PowerPoint, our expertise in PowerPoint. So with that, I would like to kick this off and have everybody introduce themselves. I think I'll start with Echo.
Hi, my name is Echo Swinford.
Hi, Echo.
I live in Indianapolis. My company is Echo's Voice. I specialize in PowerPoint templates, Keynote, Google Slides, that kind of stuff. I've been an MVP for 100 years.
At least 100 years. I think you've been an MVP 100 years with Steve Rinsberg. Steve, why don't you go next?
Okay, I've been an MVP for, I think, 1 year longer than Echo. So that makes me really, really old.
I was going to say 101 for Steve.
Right. Yeah. And unlike everybody else here who does really cool things with PowerPoint, I write add-ins that make PowerPoint do cool things instead. I'm really very poor at using PowerPoint, but I watch these folks and get the code to do it too.
Excellent. Now, Rick has been around for a long time, Rick Bretschneider, but kind of in a different context to start. Why don't you go next, Rick?
I'm amazed to say that I've been an MVP, and I have to correct myself. Back at least 10 years ago, it was valued professional. I just looked it up. It is valuable professional.
Okay, thank you.
So, mea culpa. but I've been an MVP for 12 years. And prior to that, I was 17 years a member of the PowerPoint development team. And for a large part of that, I was the PowerPoint development team representative to the MVP program. And that's how I met most of the people on this call. But I live in San Jose, California, in the Silicon Valley, and I'm happily retired and happily still involved with the PowerPoint community.
I am very jealous of you, and then Glenna. Glenna, you go next, because I know you too are retired.
I am. My name is Glenna Shaw, and I am happily retired to the North Georgia Mountains, although I do keep a toe in, working with the Presentation Guild and a few other things, other little projects. I was awarded my MVP back in January 2004 for my efforts in accessible Office products.
And still going strong on that front. Absolutely.
Oh, yes. I absolutely mm-hmm. love how much support there is for accessibility and inclusivity nowadays. It's like having that 20 years of effort finally pay off.
I think it is paying off for you. There's a lot of recognition. Chantal, I would love for you to go next.
Yes. Well, Chantal Bessay, I'm near Montreal in Canada. I've been an MVP for 9 years, so 10 years this year, if everything goes well. I have my business, which is called Shabbos, focused on presentation design and public speaking when I started. But now, let's say that with the pandemic, it morphed in a lot of training. So I'm now a trainer and expert in Microsoft 365 also.
Excellent. I think I left the folks with the accents other than myself until the last. Richard, why don't you go next?
My name is Richard. I work for Bright Carbon, and this is my third Microsoft MVP session sitting on Teams. I joined right at the very end of the before times, so I've never actually been to Redmond. Next year, for 3 years, we've now been saying next year, but next year it definitely seems like we'll all be able to get together.
I thought you were in our last one. I didn't realize you were part of the before times.
I think Presentation Summit is.
Presentation Summit, but you were there.
Okay. Hey, Troy, I'll turn it back over to you. And if you want to introduce yourself a little bit, go ahead.
I definitely can do that. So
you forgot Mike.
Oh, no, we got Michael, Mike. Yeah. Mike Parkinson. Mike.
I didn't forget anybody. Mike, you should
Hey,
go
what's up? Hey, awesome people. Mike Parkinson. I have two companies because I have, apparently I do crack or something. 24-hour company, design firm, and billion-dollar graphics products and training. And I think this is my sixth year. I'm not sure. But I am totally stoked to be geeking out with my friends.
Yeah. Wow. How do I feel that? Enthusiasm is amazing. Thanks, Mike. Hey, so I have been awarded.
Amazing too.
Friends?
So to follow that enthusiasm, I've been awarded. My name is Troy Collar. I am based in San Diego, California area. I've been awarded since October of 2004, and I did not realize that Glenna had me beat by, what is that? It's like I'm the little, you know, 9 months there. I will put a link in the show notes today, maybe, that Microsoft does have a what is an MVP, and it's a little overview. And I did look it up, Rick. It says we are the most valuable professionals now. I am almost positive it used to say valued. And the other thing is, it's really important on this program, it is an annual award. It is not a guarantee that anybody will continue on each year. So when you know, all these folks here, it just, you know, the contributions to the presentation community have been immense to get that award each year. So I think it's a great, I treat it as a great honor personally, because I think
absolutely
it definitely is a standout element. Okay. So, and then actually, let me ask this one. Does anybody know the numbers? For further clarification, does anybody know like the actual number of total MVPs for all disciplines, you know, all the software elements? I don't even know where to look that up.
I saw a banner from the MVP summit that we were close to 4,000, Googled something, and on the Microsoft site, it says more than 4,000 globally.
So 4,000. Yeah. How many PowerPoint ones are there? I know.
Isn't it 40-ish? 40-ish.
Have we hit 40? I don't even know if there are 40. It's very hard.
Yes.
I lost track of how many Asian there are, because there were a heavy concentration in
Korea.
Pacific Rim and Korea. Yeah. And,
yes.
Yeah.
So anybody that wants to do it, if you go, Microsoft has a website that says, you know, look up an MVP. It's really difficult because they, as Sandy started, we're now put into basically Office apps. So all of us are under one umbrella, according to Microsoft. And if you type in PowerPoint, it shows you like 300 entries, because it's anybody that said I work in PowerPoint. You know, they may be, you know, a total code person, but they've created a presentation, so it's put in their attributes. So it's very difficult to actually identify. I don't think there are 40 total. So 40 PowerPoint MVPs in the whole world and 4,000 total. Microsoft has a big job. This is a really cool virtual conference when you look at it, and there are 538 sessions across 3 days of the official. I know there's some side ones.
That's
crazy. Big virtual event. And we do virtual events. So, okay, obviously not everyone on the PowerPoint MVP team that we just talked about is able to attend the summit, especially with the international time zones. We're definitely a smaller group. There's about 10 of us here for this conversation. So we're a smaller group just chatting away. And I know we just did introductions of everybody, but I would also like to know, what is like the primary, where do you primarily work in PowerPoint? Windows, and that'd be desktop, and that'd be Mac or Windows. Do you use the online version, or do you use the mobile or tablet version? Am I missing any options? So I work primarily in desktop. Rick, what do you do?
I'm all over the place. I'd say I'd probably be mostly on the Mac just because that's where I do most of my communications.
Okay.
But I'm on every one of those things every day.
That's awesome. Sandy, what do you use primarily?
Well, for work, I am 100% on Windows, on Windows desktop. I rarely work in any other format other than my telephone when I'm checking projects that may come in while I'm not on my computer.
And are you using a, like, do you just use a default viewer, or are you actually opening up an Office the mobile app?
Good point. I use Office on my iPhone. I have both the Office app downloaded and PowerPoint. I don't know which one I'm opening. I open in PowerPoint. I know that sounds ignorant, but I really don't pay attention to it. I know I have both of them both apps on my phone.
Yeah, I use the Office app. I find pretty cool just because it merges them all. Steve, I heard you chuckling. What do you primarily use for PowerPoint?
So much Windows and desktop, but that's for work. But then I do a lot of support on Reddit, Microsoft Answers, and a couple other places. And there I kind of have to be ready to jump on just about anything. So it might be the phone, might be the web version, but I don't seriously use any of those.
I seriously don't use them.
But the Windows version.
Use them seriously.
Well, it's a serious problem when I have to use them for serious. Let's put it that way.
But wait, you have the Reddit app on your phone that you use, or do you use it the desktop only?
Yes. Both.
Okay, moving on. Chantal, what do you use primarily for accessing PowerPoint? What devices and environment?
I'm Windows, and it's basically desktop, or I also view, I'm not really designing or running very much through Teams, but sometimes I go through Teams, which is equivalent to the web app.
Teams. Yes, I agree. Sorry, I had to think that one through. Richard, what do you use primarily?
Primarily Windows desktop again, but about a year and a half ago, I switched from using SharePoint desktop sync because I found it really slow and really unstable and just did everything through the browser. And because it opens by default in PowerPoint for the web through that, unless I need to do something important, a small but reasonable percentage of the time, I'll do it through there or, of course, on Teams.
We should talk about Teams and how you open it. But first of all, Echo, what do you primarily utilize?
Well, I guess I'm kind of like Rick. I'm all over the place. So I'm not a big fan of OneDrive and SharePoint because I've had some bad experiences in the past. I store most of my files on Dropbox, and I use a Mac as my main system. But my real main system is a virtual Windows machine via Parallels on my Mac. So I'm almost always in Windows, but on a Mac, and I'm syncing to Dropbox. I do use PowerPoint on the web occasionally, but it's usually for testing things for people when they report them as being broken. But I do open files and edit quickly there. Google Slides, I've been futzing around with Google Slides. I have a client who's working in it. So, yeah.
Cool.
A little bit everywhere.
Glenna, where are you at primarily?
I'm actually on an iPad most of the time.
Does the iPad, you know, this is really funny because I actually have an iPad sitting in front of me that I can't restore. I get some Apple error, so I'm actually trying to restore it, and it turns out it's a Windows Defender's getting in the way, but because we're corporate. setup. I can't turn Defender off for just my computer. So anyways, I haven't used the iPad version in a while is what I'm getting at. Does it have its own install version still? Or is it? It does. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the last time I installed it, but I haven't installed it in a long time.
Okay. So they're still supporting an iPad specific one. And that's bad because literally this iPad has been used for over a year. I just haven't had a need for it. And
my iPad, I set it on my, like it was below my desk. I have a standing desk that raises and lowers. So I set it on the thing below there so it would charge because short cord. And I lowered my desk and iPad is curved and bent. And it still works, but it's curved. It looks like a curved makeup mirror or something.
It looks like it's melted.
It looks like it's melted. Next year, Apple will come out with the curve pad or something, the iCurve, and it'll be all over the
place. The iCurve.
It's a mini version of those great big monitors. Yeah. How cool is that?
Immersive experiences.
As long as it's 2 inches from your face.
CinemaScope on an iPad.
That is hysterical. I was getting ready to make a joke about, did you lower it? And then you went into it. It's like, no more joke. Yep. That could be just heartbreaking.
If exactly I'm doing serious editing, though, I'm going to do it on the desktop in Windows.
Okay.
But I'm storing a lot of files on OneDrive these days so that I can share them and collaborate with people.
Interesting. And yeah, we're getting big into collaboration with our clients. Mike, what do you utilize? Where are you PowerPointing?
Primarily, same as Nolan, desktop, Mac, but I am running just like Echo, Parallels, Windows, because there are things Windows can do, the Windows version can do way better than the Mac can do, and I need both.
Mm-hmm. Same. I like being able to check stuff in both. But I'm primarily Windows. You're primarily Mac, right, Mike?
I am. I think that's Nolan and I are both primarily Mac, and Windows is our second. Just because I like speed, and I know Parallels, although optimized for the Mac, is still not a Windows machine. So any lag makes me angry and sad.
Well, I'm right there with you, and I've been angry and sad about the lag lately. But it's just my Mac is from 2014. And I bought it when I was at the MVP summit that year. And
I remember.
And Derek Johnson set it up for me. So props, Derek. It's still going strong. So yeah, I've been using it forever and it's just really started getting to me. So I've ordered a new M1 MacBook Pro. Ooh, cost me $1 million. Nice. It won't get here until the beginning of the month.
But, I got to tell you, I've been looking at new computers and I was just with another person that had an M1 Pro Mac. I don't know the chips. MacBook he had a lot. Pro. He had one of the higher level ones, and I was like, okay, come on. I keep hearing it's good. He opened up a record, so he had a 1080p 2 hour long recording. He's like, here, I'm gonna hit re-render on this in that was Media Encoder, and then he opened up Photoshop, and he was like flying around 1 gigabyte files, and he's like, here, and we'll get some music playing in the background. I was like, I mean, this is a Mac. This is a laptop. And there was lag. I was like, absolutely.
That's what I got. And I maxed it out and it cost me a shit ton. But
that's what I said.
I've had this for 8 years. And so if I have that one for 8 years, year over year, it finally washes out. It's easy.
It's so snappy. Adobe's
always going to be the demo for a new Apple hardware because they always optimize for the chipset.
It was impressive. This is us just backstage. It was an impressive demo. Okay. Yeah. Now
Troy,
for the, yes.
Just because you were interested, Mac PowerPoint on the iPad was updated 8 days ago. So it's kept pretty fresh.
Okay.
And I love using that one because I can use my Apple Pencil with it.
So we had that inking session. We had a little survey. Hold on. Before I start that, now the delicate part of the conversation, guys. We have to be very cognizant that we have an NDA with Microsoft. There is very little, folks, that we can actually talk about from the MVP summit that we just attended because every session starts before anybody can talk with. Please be aware this is under NDA. It just goes on and on and on. So that being said, we did have a session where there was a question about, we talked about inking capabilities of PowerPoint. We can talk about that in public. And there was a little survey, which I thought was a very smart idea for the presenter to do. And I literally said, it's not that I don't like inking. I just don't like doing it from my mouse. And I have a lack of pen input devices. I used to use a tablet, a Wacom tablet, and my Surface, I don't even carry the pen with me. So Rick, I am envious of the fact that you have a pencil because it's such a great tool. I just don't utilize it.
Yeah, I bought this, I bought a new iPad around January and just love PowerPoint on it.
Yeah, our oldest daughter, graphic designer, she works on an iPad Pro with the pencil and uses, is it Procreate? She's a hand lettering. Wonderful. Yeah, she does just amazing stuff and it's all pen. And I'm just like, that's just stellar. Okay. We are acknowledging there's an NDA thing, onus over us. What else can we talk about? How was the team's experience for everybody?
Oh God,
I didn't have any problems, but I know that many did have a lot of problems.
Glenna, how was it for you? What was the team's experience? Were you iPadding in?
I was. I used my Android phone. I used my iPad. And I used two different, my laptop and a desktop, and I had no problems on any of them. I think I am the outlier for everybody.
I spent about an hour on the phone. I have to give them credit. The people at Microsoft were they set up test logins. We could get on there. They would spend all the time it took to get things sorted out for you. I know for some people, they got it sorted out, and then the next day it went away. In my case, once I got it going the way I wanted it, I left the damn browser open for the rest of the week. I wasn't going to close it.
You know what, Steve? I heard you mention that. And the day two I went to log in, it took me 12 minutes. I mean, I was like, I've got, you know, 2 minutes till the session starts. I have 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes until the session starts. I didn't get in till, you know, 10 minutes after it started because I had to restart my computer. I don't know what happened with Teams. So, and I was thinking of you in the background. I was like, Steve said he just leaves his computer on. That would have been such a smart idea. Why did I shut it down?
The browser. I didn't shut anything down. I had my schedule in Word and that stayed open the whole time. I mean,
Rick, what were you logging in with, seeing how you're Mr. Multi-Talented?
Well, I made sure that both my Mac and my PC were ready to log in. I got all the mails a week ahead of time and I expected problems. I ran into those problems, but I was able to fix them on the fly. So there was something about the way they were linking into the presentations that had some extra layer of security that was screwing everybody over.
Well, if you used an external link, like not from the official conference login webpage, it took you to the lobby, which one, I don't know why I would do that, but two, they weren't letting people in from the lobby because it's not as... Anyways,
right,
you know, they would just basically, and that's what happened to me. I kept going to the lobby, but I was using the exact same process. Chantal is saying she's got, what was your scenario or story with getting in?
Well, one thing I did find out for all the people that got problems, and I've been troubleshooting Teams problems for the past 2 years with clients. One thing that got bad in the past, maybe half a year or so, is now that you have some profiles that you can set up in your browsers, it messes up the way you're perceived when you click a link to access Teams. So if your browser is set up as a personal profile, then when you click on a link and that browser is open or active, that's where it tries to log you in, and that's when things go haywire. You need to have a browser page open. You need to make sure, probably be logged in, not logged in, just in private. Then you copy the link and you go there. And that's how I even settled a problem today in between sessions with a client that he wasn't able to access the SharePoint secured part of another client. And that was the only way.
It was a process. By the way, the best tip I did get, I was reading through the on Teams, the general whatever team chat there was. Somebody said, open up as an incognito browser, log in there. That way you don't have any pre-profile recognition. So that's what I did every day. And even then, I still got stuck on one thing. I was going to say, Echo, you just Echo's got bad.
I worked. I did my due diligence. And
you
I'm
did?
Just, I'm just sitting here listening to you guys, and I'm so jealous because it still didn't work right for me. And I just, it frustrates me because I did. I did it right. I did what I was supposed to do. I did the test people. We had me going. I did the incognito window. It worked during, they got me working during the test, then it didn't. Then if you hit the lobby, they'd kick you out. I tried.
Did anybody have camera issues? Today, all of my sessions, all the camera feeds were just white boxes. No? Was it just me?
I had a virtual camera problem. That was when everyone started saying I was Disco Rick.
Oh, God, that was crazy.
I don't know what that was about.
I thought it was headroom. Look.
I had to. Oh, was that? Did you see like a drawn picture of me?
No.
It was weird audio feedback.
It was audio feedback. But yeah. I was getting
next headroom invaded your audio feed.
I had to disable all my virtual camera stuff, and I mean really disable it. And then I came back, and everything was fine.
Yeah, I think there was just a little bit of an overload because I mean Teams is big, but it is, you know, corporate managed, and we're all going through the corporate Microsoft account, and I think it may have been overloaded. Session wise, we had only a few sessions today. We did. Who has long-term memory? Richard, you're exempt from this. We had fewer sessions at this summit than we did when we used to travel to the on-site, correct?
I agree. Is that just I agree.
All the virtuals have been that way. Yes. That's,
yeah.
This has been back-to-back when we're on-site.
I think they tried to drag some into the evening so that our people in Oz and elsewhere would have an easier time to attend. But I know that, you know, in Japan, Miho, it was still hard for her. It was still hard for Emma in Australia. So
I think
I know
the
they're
first
trying,
they
but
went...
I know that it's hard to find a time that works worldwide. It's just always a challenge, you know?
The first time they went virtual, I think they just moved the whole back-to-back session onto the internet. And everybody was just fried by the end of the second day. And so they did take a lesson from that. We have much fewer sessions for just that reason, I think.
But
they even made that point at one point. They said that.
Oh, I didn't realize that. But I'm glad that they gave us a break between sessions. We had the 10 minutes. Yeah, but I kind of wish that some of the sessions had spanned over like two session worth. Some of the sessions like an hour and 20 minutes. And then gave us a 10 or 15 minute break. Or, you know, I appreciated the breaks. I just wish we had had some of the sessions longer. I really missed having just like I would call it a networking session, but just an hour to just sit and chat with you guys. Like I like being able to chat with you here. I miss that because we don't get to do that during our sessions.
Yeah. There was no casual conversation. There was no time to just network with the people at Microsoft even, or,
each other.
Yeah, exactly. It's huge.
The Teams rooms opened up 10 minutes before the session was due to start. And that was it. I tried wherever possible to get in that 10 minutes because it was nice to be able to chat with people.
And I also, if you're like me and had trouble getting in.
The sessions where they had, you know, you've got 50 minutes of time. And in this kind of environment where it's lots of experts and discussion is best, I thought the best sessions were where they had a 15 minute presentation and then the rest was, let's have a chat.
So agree.
And that's exactly what they said, everybody. They said, let's have a chat. That's how they said it right there.
Yeah. With the accent.
Yep.
No, and they were all sipping tea out of their teacups and all sorts. Yeah. With their bowler hats on.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't like the on-camera experience. As a matter of fact, I really hate the on-camera experience. I would rather, if I'm doing remote, I'd almost rather it be just voice only. And maybe it's because I spent so many years where it was just conference calls. But even at the agency where I used to work for, in the Wayback Machine, before you could do video conferencing through the internet, we had teleconferencing equipment and would hold teleconferencing meetings. And I always felt just trapped, you know, because, you know, everybody can see every move you make. And one time I leaned down, I leaned down just to scratch my foot. And immediately I hear everybody going, Glenna, are you okay? They thought I had fallen out of my chair. So it's like, I just, you know, to me, it doesn't feel friendly at all. It feels stiff and trapped.
Hey, I logged in on my phone because Teams works great on an iPhone. I mean, it's amazing how well it works. I took the conversation with me and headed down and got another cup of coffee. At one point, I was sitting outside by the pool enjoying some sunshine because it wasn't a session I was going to participate in. I was definitely, and that's something to me mentions, a lot of the sessions were less conversational than even previous. They were definitely being presented to us, which I thought was a little, I guess that's one of my takeaways. But anyways, I wandered around, Glenna. So to your point, camera was definitely off for a reason because I was not at my desk.
Demos were kind of small that way, though, weren't they?
Yeah, I did the same thing. I took my little granddaughter for a ride on her stroller tricycle.
And I think we're probably overdue to have more in-person events because I truly feel that virtual fatigue at one point, too many meetings, too many training sessions. So a whole event is even more difficult at times, I feel.
I agree. Absolutely. It's a difficult scenario. And we're at this point, everybody's experienced, the novelty has worn off. I mean, we do virtual meetings during this conference. I think we had at least three different company events going on. I was not managing any of them. The rest of my team was. I was very focused on our content. But, you know, people, it's just the way it is. I mean, you know, and we're drawing some interesting... Actually, let me ask a question. I'll get an opinion poll here. So we're noticing that our virtual events, while things are going back to live or a lot of them becoming hybrid, we're noticing a lot more requests for interactivity and kind of that pizzazz elements to be added into the virtual meetings, you know, because people already know what to expect. You got to do something to attract them. The same thing happens with our live events. You know, meeting planners are always doing, you know, we're doing full, you know, huge laser shows and Broadway edition starters, you know, because you know, you have to do something to make it memorable. And I think that mentality is flowing into the virtual space where people are just like, yeah, they all blur together. What do you guys think?
I think that makes perfect sense.
Sure does. People are accustomed to it, so they need more. They want to see different things. They're not amazed about the regular stuff anymore because they've been at it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Gotten to be ho-hum, another virtual event.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, it's just like, it's become the conference calls of the 2020s, you know? I mean, in the 2000s or 1990s, it was another conference call. And now it's another video call conference, you know?
I would like to see the teams of the future be less of a resource hog. I really struggled today when we had our session where we had panel discussions and there were lots and lots of videos. Like my chat in Teams kept crashing and stalling out. And like, I was trying to type a response to someone and it just failed. I sent it probably four times and it went into a black hole. And I think that part of the issue is it just sucks up resources sometimes.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that.
The battery usage. I mean, that it like sucked the iPad battery. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that all the different tools are going to have to get a handle on that. But I'll tell you what, I don't see that much of a hit with Zoom when I'm doing client calls and we have videos and things like that. Maybe it's the difference between a meeting and a webinar, or like, I don't know what they set up in Teams in the back end.
Well, I can say that Zoom is locked at 720p unless you have a higher level plan. There's not a whole lot of them out there. And no, Zoom is 720p. Teams allows 1080p. So there is a lot more data being transmitted to everybody as well. So, you know, Zoom does a very good job of managing it, sometimes to the detriment of the attendees.
I wish it had an option where I could say use lower bandwidth or set me at 720p.
Right.
Like, why is that not an option? Because it wouldn't have mattered 720p today.
See, no, because they're all small.
I consider those accessibility issues, because accessibility isn't always about, you know, just reaching people with disabilities. It's also about reaching everyone. So, you know, the people that have lower end equipment or less of an internet connection. You know, I live very rural and I feel very fortunate to have the internet connection I have, but not everybody is that fortunate. So any apps that are resource hogs are a problem with accessibility.
Okay, I'm going to redirect us because we got to bring it back to PowerPoint. We're all about presentation work, and I've got a great one here. I think it's great. Let's hear what everybody says. How about this? Who has a good recent PowerPoint template story or an issue or a solution from a recent project? Because I'm all about templates right now. I'm preparing a talk for next week's Present to Succeed conference on templates, and we had a lot of conversation around templates. Anybody? Good PowerPoint template story, issue, or solution for a client with a template?
I had recently been doing something for a corporate client, and they wanted quote-unquote wow factor. And one of the simplest things I do for that is to put a looping video at the beginning and the end that is relevant to the topic and or the solution that the solution provider provides, gives, delivers. And just because you don't see it that often, it raised a lot of eyebrows and tends to get a lot of people saying, "Ooh, I want that for mine too." And it's such a simple, easy thing to do. It's not just dancing baloney. It is relevant, setting the mood. As long as it's professionally done, I think it's a cool technique. And I would use the word trick with air quotes, but I would call it a technique at this point in time because it adds value.
We do a lot of video within templates, like right on master layouts have a lot of video work. I wish there was an easier replace video option.
Yes.
Glenna, what do you guys do? I think, tell me templates, story, issue. Give me an issue.
This was very, very recent. The client needed their templates to be accessible, but what happened was the masters the slide masters of the template were not accessible, but they had very carefully made their sample slides accessible. So what would happen is when somebody would use one of the masters to create a new slide, immediately the accessibility checker would pop up. So it became kind of that whole thing like with the carpenter, measure twice, cut once. So what I did was able to go through and let me give a shout out for the reading pane, which I initially was not a big supporter of. But if you're in the masters and you open the reading pane, you can really just fly through your masters and make every one of them accessible and pass. So that when somebody is using the slide master to create a new slide, it's not going to flag the accessibility checker. The accessibility checker on its own will not check the slide masters. You have to do those by hand.
Wait, can you define, you're not talking about reading view like next to slideshow. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? When you say the reading pane, what are you talking about?
Oh, the reading order pane.
The accessibility order thing. Got it.
Yes.
The reading
order pane. Sorry. It has a whole lot of tools built into it that I did not realize. And initially, because I was so accustomed to using the selection pane, I was like, this is going to be so confusing because the reading pane is in the reverse order of the selection pane. But once I started using it, I'm not sure I'll ever go back to the selection pane. You know, it's kind of like getting you know, the Instapot. I'm not sure I'll ever go back to the Crock-Pot.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the reading view, you know, the one that.
Yeah, no.
I was like, what are we talking? Okay, cool. Richard, what do you got? Give me a good template story because you got a whole team of people. So I'm sure something awesome has happened.
It's not necessarily awesome. It's we're kind of getting, you know, two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. Embedding fonts and custom fonts, everyone's favorite topic, and how it's like, oh no, just don't do it. And then recently it's like, oh, maybe it's a bit more reliable. Oh, that's good. And then you think, oh, maybe we can do it. And then you realize that if you embed a font, it means that it's read only in PowerPoint for the web, which means that it's read only in Teams. And if it weren't for the fact that in the last 2 years, the use of Teams and PowerPoint for the web has dramatically increased because everyone is using Teams to collaborate, you realize, oh, I've just ruined the ability for anyone to use Teams properly, which is just so silly.
That's weird.
No, that's a horrible scenario of where.
But it's something that you might not consider when most people that are creating things are creating in the desktop, because you create these kind of templates in the desktop version because it's more powerful and that's fine. But then you get to that user bit and think, oh, but a lot of people are going to use it in Teams or the web, and it just ruins the experience. So once again, don't embed your fonts.
Hey, really quick, only because Glenna brought it up, how does anybody open the accessibility pane? I always just type accessibility in the search bar because I can never find it on the ribbon. Does anybody
know? Review tab. It's on the review tab, and I've been bitching about it for that and comments being on the review tab.
Let me tell you the easiest.
No, it's not on the view tab. I was looking for it, so I just typed accessibility again.
Review.
Oh, review.
Yeah, it's on the review tab. But if you have the accessibility checker running, I know most of you guys turn it off, but I keep it running. It's in the status bar. You can actually click at the, there's a, it's in the status
down at the bottom. Yeah, the bottom left.
Yeah. And that'll bring it up.
Yeah, and that's where I see it. It usually says accessibility investigate. And I click it to open it, or I search accessibility because I always go to the view tab. It's in review. Hey, look, I've learned something. We can end the show. Okay, anybody else? Because I have a good template one. I'm waiting to hear anybody else. Who's got a good template recent story? Somebody, you know, wild design request? Anything beyond the norm? Custom template, master layout requests? We had one that wanted basically their, what do you call it? Like contact us. They wanted 20 name field, you know, presets, you know, picture, placeholder for name. It was like they wanted 4, 8, 10, 12, up to 20 different. So if they wanted layouts with, it's like you really can't realistically have 20 pictures and names on a slide, but okay. And then when you go to remap it, you say, oh, I really don't need the 20. I want the 12. It remaps by putting everything in the wrong places because placeholders can't be mapped to each other. It's very aggravating.
I'll pipe up on Jamie's behalf to say, if anyone from Microsoft is listening and you have the ability to do it, please open up the IDX value so that you can map placeholders between different templates, because it would make it so much nicer.
So I have two things. One is that, Mike, to, you know, you're asking about your add-in and this behavior. It's funny because I had to email Jamie the other day. I was teaching boot camp for certs, and I was like, oh my God, Julie and I discovered this like the day before or so. It was like, oh my God, you can select multiple slides and you can paste, and the same object will paste on all these slides. And I was like, this, I think this is a, I think this is a bright slide thing. So I finally emailed Jamie and I'm like, dude, is this you? He said, yeah, it's us. I didn't know if it was a PowerPoint thing or if it was a bright slide thing, and it was a bright slide thing. So I got to go. I was telling all the people in boot camp how cool it was. So I got to go back to them and tell them it's a bright slide thing.
This okay, a funny. Couple of things.
Wait, before first, we go too far, we need to introduce what, who Jamie is
yeah,
and
exactly.
what bright gotta, slide is.
Yeah.
So Jamie works for Bright Carbon, and he is the, I think, main developer of the Bright Slide add-in, the free add-in that we've all been talking about.
And he is one of the heroes of PowerPoint, very seriously.
I'd say, yeah.
Yes. It would be remiss of me if I didn't also say that Tavi, Ansh, and Paolo also work alongside Jamie on Bright Slide, all of whom are excellent. Some of the most recent stuff is from Paolo and Ansh as well. So they are
so good
thoroughly enjoying, I think, being able to be part of the community and seeing the reactions that people give from it.
I am bowing in their direction, and I have to go back to tell the bootcamp folks that this is not a PowerPoint feature. It's a Bright Slide feature. And the thing is, it worked for all of them too, because they all have Bright Slide installed already. So that's why we didn't know. We couldn't
you
tell.
Not if that's it a was... thing though, where you're teaching people stuff and you say, look, you could do it this really manual way and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a load of add-ins. And there are so many amazing people out there in the community, like Jamie, like Tavi, like Andrew Paolo, and Steve, for example, yes, who just create such amazing add-ins. You know, Mike as well, to be able to get all of the assets that you need in a way that's useful for you is just so good. And I often encourage people just to go out and look, you know, do a brief Google search and see if someone has created an add-in, because the chances are there is someone out there that's done it.
So the really crazy thing there, Echo, is I just use that, what you just said. We're adding interactive navigation links. So I would put it on one slide, get it all positioned. I go out to slide sorter, select all the slides it went to, and just hit paste. I actually did not know that was not a native PowerPoint thing. And I was 2 days ago is when I was building out this interactive presentation, and I totally was using that. And that is so...
We do it all the time. It's what it came from, that the team producing so many of these large-scale interactive decks. And on the first time, it's fine. And then the client comes along and says, oh, actually, can we make this change? Yeah. And another 250 times. And it's like, right, you can select any object and say, so an interactive menu, for example, delete this object on every slide in the deck or every slide you select. And then you make the change once and then you paste it back again. So it's not only the paste across, but it's the delete across slides, which is so nice, so time-saving.
Right.
Chantal, what do you got? Oh, I'm sorry. Chantal, what do you got for us?
Well, besides all the add-ins, I'm wondering if you all have the same thing. I call it my problem of not being able to remember what version of PowerPoint had what restrictions. And when I'm teaching, sometimes I say, Well, okay, I know you can do it now. And then I have questions and I get mixed up with so many versions. Yes. So left alone all the add-ins, we have so many changes that have been made throughout the years. And now we have changes almost every month. So yeah, it's getting tough on my memory.
But that's why we have Steve.
Used to do that.
Steve is the font of all versions of PowerPoint. Yeah.
Yes.
Would you like to install the Steve add-in?
Get a Steve add-in. There you go.
Honest to God, I do have a virtual machine with like 4 or 5 versions, old versions of PowerPoint Office.
I used to keep VMs of all the previous builds, but then I realized I have Steve. I would just happily ping him. So we don't keep any anymore. I used to keep them all. It's a serious thing. Hey, Rick, Rick Ratchner, we haven't heard from you in a while.
I've just been enjoying this conversation so much, and your listeners need to know that this is what we sound like normally when we all get together. This is not put on for their benefit. This is the only difference between this and us after the summit in Seattle is that we'd usually be on our third round of drinks by now.
This is why we missed that casual conversation.
These are the rabbit holes. These are the unexplained acronyms. I'm not even going to go back to it, but the number of acronyms that they're going to have to kind of, you know, screw their eyes up over trying to figure out what we were talking about at any given time. It's just lovely. I'm so missing everyone right now and hoping for a better next year.
A big amen to that.
Yeah, that's that casual conversation we missed. Troy, you didn't ask me specifically about a template thing, but I do have one.
Echo, do you have an awesome, amazing template scenario that we could hear about?
I do have an awesome.
I am so sorry.
I think the most frustrating one that's come across my desk in the past few months is a client who, you know, their agency built a template for them that was 325 meg.
Wow.
Yeah.
Charged by the pound.
So it was full of, I know, it started life in Keynote. And so everything was, you know, 26 or so.
A weird page size, an unusual page size.
Yeah, so double the size it needed to be. And it was all high-res CMYK TIFFs. I kid you not. I was just floored. So I rebuilt it. And most of them were like these crazy backgrounds and things like that. So they were textures. They didn't even need to be very high res at all. But when I got, there were a lot of them. When I got finished, it was, I don't know, 6 meg.
Wow.
That's just amazing.
Did it look good at least? I mean, did they do a good job designing it?
Oh, you know what? It was the craziest. I should send you the brand guides. It was, I think they were instructed to be, what did Julie say? Disruptive. It was, it was supposed to be disruptive. And so it was a lot of visual noise. And so for a presentation, no, it was not well designed because it was just the, yeah. Yeah.
That's a shame.
It was really, it hurt.
Gives a bad name to what we do.
What, Mike?
Gives a bad name to what we do.
It does. It does. It hurt me for the, to pull it together. It just, it's hard for me because the users, you know, and I have one right now whose brand agency really is doing them a huge disservice. And it does. It hurts me because it's like.
Yeah, it makes people. It feeds to that death by PowerPoint. Files are hard to share. And mm-hmm. I don't want to cut you off. I just want to let you know I was one of those people. Like, I was a reasonably good designer. I just didn't know my way around PowerPoint. So I designed things that looked pretty good, but was unnecessarily large because I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I met y'all and learned that I needed to pull my head square out of my tuckus.
With that.
The thing that always sticks with me, especially with templates, but stuff in general, is what Echo says, is you have to think about the user. And you read the book, and Echo and Julie just talk lots about, think about the user, because that's what this is for. And it's just such a good mantra to live by.
For presentations,
yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I mean, templates get a bad name. You know, they get a bad name because of what you said, Mike. You know, designers don't always know. They don't know any better. And so, like, you hand off a 325 meg template to someone, like, that doesn't help anybody. But, like, this client I have now, their agency is, I mean, the template that they build is not helping those users at all. And so it does, it just trickles down and PowerPoint gets a horrible name. You're exactly right, Richard. I agree. It's frustrating. Anyway, that's my template thing. 325 meg.
I hear you and feel you and oh my gosh. Yeah, file size, yeah, I will do a shout out though for the Slidewise add-in for being able to have an inventory, an asset index of everything so you can quickly identify the big ones. Cause you know, I run NX PowerLite, which is made by the same company, but sometimes I just want to identify what is the big thing. And it's so much faster to use Slidewise than close the file, crack it open, go in, go into the media folder, see what's big, go find out where it is. It's just an amazing.
So their newest feature is that it shows the image, not only the size, it shows pixels.
Wow.
How many pixels the image is.
Sweet.
Yeah. So if you haven't installed the update, go install the update.
I gotta have to go look for that. I don't know if I've noticed.
It's amazing. That. I know.
It's a daily program for us. Slidewise is an hour. I'm sorry. Bright Slide is an hourly thing. Slidewise is at least daily. Or NX PowerLite is at least daily. Slidewise is probably multiple times per day. But yeah.
Whenever I'm running and NXT, sessions and show something, try to show something briefly on Slidewise, it ends up being much longer than you ever anticipate because people show me that. Yeah, oh, show me that. And just the excitement that builds from what it does. Again, as I said before, I go out and look for the add-ins that are there because there are so many good ones.
Hey, it's a company. I mean, I am pretty confident that everybody on this conversation has talked to Microsoft or they've asked us and we need an asset inventory scenario for every presentation for years. I mean, I'm thinking decades of conversations I can think of. I had conversations with Rick when he was there and he's been an MVP for 12 years about this. So, you know, somebody else finally realized we can make it happen. And I think they deserve all the credit they can because they did something that has not been implemented and it is just an amazing, amazing tool.
And it's not expensive.
Yeah.
And if you you're a Presentation Guild member, it's even cheaper because they have a discount for members.
That's
had to get in a plug for the Presentation Guild, guys.
There you go.
Does Presentation Guild have a list of add-ins? Forgive me, I haven't checked in a while.
Yeah, there's a whole discounts page.
Oh,
yeah,
and
they're
amazing.
They're both NX. They're both on it.
Cool.
Hey guys, I'm going to close us out. I want to thank you all for just joining us. I know we've been 3 days of sessions with Microsoft and asking you guys to jump in after our final day has been It's a lot. I totally appreciate it. I know time zones for some of you, it's dinner time or bedtime, or for me, it's walk the dog time. So, hey, thank you all for joining us. Thank you everybody for joining us that's listening. And hopefully we will all get together in person at some point here and talk and record and do fun things. So thank you. Let's see. Let me get this done. Thank you, Sandy, Rick, Steve, Chantal, Richard, Echo, Mike, Glenna, and me, Troy. I'm the last one. Yay, we're all there. I was counting up my fingers.
Thanks for getting us together, Troy.
That was fun.
Thanks for doing this, Troy.
Hey, guys, enjoy. Thanks for, it was an awesome summit. Bye. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Good night.